This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. Yesterday's show just flew by. I'm not sure we even came close to touching on everything that we wanted to talk about. But I want to say that coming up in just a second, Steve Sipple, it's Tuesday. We're having a Bo Pelini's press conference at noon. You'll hear from the coach in its entirety, his press conference. We've got a variety of guests on the show today to kind of go around Husker football because, obviously, this is not the Husker football show, but we talk a lot of Huskers, UNK and Hastings College. We will talk with Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star in just moments. We'll also catch up with Chuck Dummer. He's going to stop by from the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. And we're going to catch up with the head volleyball coach at St. Paul, Matt Kane. They are the number one seed in the Lou Platt Conference Tournament, which moves into its semifinal round tonight on Power 99 FM at 6 o'clock at Kearney Catholic. So a heck of a match between Kearney Catholic and Ord last night in the quarterfinals. And, you know, folks, if you're sitting at home and you're just looking for something to do, and boy, I wish the weather was better for the girls at the golf meet. But you know what? The kids are out there running the cross country. They're playing golf. They're in softball at Hastings this week, state softball tournament. You got district cross country. You've got state tennis. You've got, as we said, state girls golf is the first event that's going to wrap up this week. And then you've got Friday night football, and you've got a lot of conference tournaments going on. Don't tell me there's nothing to do, all right? Oh, I don't want to go watch a bunch of high school. Guess what, people? It's not when you went to high school. There is some talent out there, and it doesn't matter what sport. And there's more than just football, and I know Tony doesn't know that, but there is more than just football out there. So go check it out because there is not a lack of things to watch out there, and it is all going on. And by no means are we overlooking any of that here on the show. We're looking at, you know, kind of like Colin Cowherd said, you know what? We've got Tampa Bay. And, you know, who'd they play? Oh, yeah, the White Sox. We got Tampa Bay and the White Sox, or we've got the Cowboys Redskins. Well, Cowboys Redskins is going to win out over White Sox Tampa Bay, and that's just the way it is. But that doesn't mean we ignore everything else that's going on. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Dent Popper inbox anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, right now we go live to the sixth floor.
Whoa.
We go sixth floor.
Who are you?
We go sixth floor.
What are you doing here?
I'm the daddy, damn it. Now stay out of my way. We're going sixth floor, you're Memorial Stadium. Steve Sipple joins us. Steven, what's going on?
You guys sound great. Good job.
Well, daddy's refreshed. You know, you work 1 or 2 days a week. You can be fired up. But you, on the Husker beat, looking good on the vidcast, by the way. I just want to throw that out, Sip.
A little overweight, but got a haircut at least.
I didn't know you saw Tony this week.
No. No, I was talking about myself. But I get you. I got you there.
Sip, I'm sure.
Tony's a good-looking man. God, I can't believe I just said that on the radio.
He's a heck of a cat. I know you got your fingers crossed. Hey, Sip, I know we're pulling you away from, like, the Connie Yori press conference there, but Joe Gann's up this morning. Let's start there. Any news of interest this morning so far in Lincoln at the press conference?
No, nothing. No, I wouldn't say anything newsworthy. Joe's always candid, and he, you know, he said that after he saw that guy pick that ball off in the fourth quarter, or in the overtime there, he said it felt like somebody stomped his heart out. Now, that's hard to hear a kid say that, but he said he can't wallow in it. He made that very clear that you got to move forward quickly, and he did agree that there's a heightened sense of urgency as they get ready for Iowa State.
Sip, I guess as you look at Iowa State and start to break down maybe some of their key, I guess their strengths and weaknesses, what should Nebraska be concerned with Iowa State?
Well, the thing about Iowa State that strikes me is they don't have much explosion at the skill positions. They're very young at the skill positions, although their quarterback's pretty impressive. He's a big kid, 6'3", 220, Austin Arnaud. He's the guy that they're leaning on heavily. I mean, really leaning on. They got a few decent receivers, but the thing that strikes me is that they don't have much explosion at the skill positions. Now, defensively, they got a pretty explosive player in Curtis Taylor, on one end. He's an end. And they're really, experienced in the secondary. Not as experienced in the front seven. In fact, they're pretty inexperienced in the front seven. Although, I'll tell you what, I haven't really broken them down yet. I usually do that later in the week.
Steve Sippel from the Lincoln Journal Star joining us live from the press conference. We'll hear from Bo Pelini here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sip, you mentioned Gans's interception. Mm-hmm. Let's break it down to that one play, not the game as a whole, but how will that one play, and let's say that Nebraska goes on and wins that game in overtime, how does that change the course of this season for Big Red and Big Red faithful?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I'd answer that. I don't think of it that way. I guess the thing I want to say about that play right off is this. And you guys are... You've been around athletics for your whole lives, and the way I look at that play is I don't look at it as a bad play on Joe's part. I look at it as a good play on the guy who chased him down's part. I don't think Joe made a bad play on that. I think the guy that hit him from behind made the play. So I look at it a little differently. And there's no guarantees what would happen on that drive, even if Joe did complete that pass. So I'm not... And I think he was trying to throw it out of bounds. I hear various things on that, and I should have asked Joe that. But I thought he was just trying to throw it out, and the guy got to him, and it affected, you know, the way the ball came out of his hand. So, Doug, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, I'm with you on that, Sip. I'm not placing blame on Gans like some other people on this show. But it was an
I'm not
callers, emailers, not you, Daddy. Not you, Daddy, even though you hate Nebraska with Bo Pelini and
no.
think that Iowa State's going to win Saturday. But Sip, I guess what I was meaning was, Nebraska had made such a great showing. And everybody seems to want to compare so quickly to what they've seen the last 2 years. And you go to that Texas game last year. Wow, great, great game. But we lost, and then we saw what happened after that. And I know this is totally, totally different, but it seems hard for maybe even some of the players to shake that, and I know it's tough for the fans to shake that because Nebraska still hasn't picked up that signature win, and I know that in 5-6 games here, that shouldn't necessarily be expected. But I was just talking big picture, you know, confidence level, bowl possibilities, maybe getting one more in the win column because Iowa State's, a lot of people don't want to hear this, Iowa State's a tough place to play for the Huskers this Saturday.
Yeah, that's where we're at with this program right now, with Nebraska. There's not a big difference talent wise right now between Nebraska and Iowa State. Nebraska's better. They're a better football team, probably talent wise, but mostly because they're a little more veteran. So it's a tough game. I don't know though. Maybe because I've been covering it so long, I just become a cliche machine, and I listen to the coaches. But I do believe in that. You know, I hear a lot of this game is the end all be all for Nebraska. I don't believe that. I mean, I think you could lose this game, beat Baylor, be 4-4, and then you know you might rattle off. You're not going to beat Oklahoma, but you could win those last three and be where you kind of thought you were anyway. So you got to be careful putting too much into this ball game. Although it's obviously important. But I'll tell you something, every game's important when it's Nebraska. With a program of that stature, and in the situation they're in, every single game feels big. And that's the thing that probably wears on people over here sometimes, but it is what it is. That's what you want. I mean, mean, that's why you come to Nebraska, because of those expectations.
Sip, I know it's been talked about in several circles in central Nebraska. I'm sure it has back in the eastern part of the state as well. When's the last time Nebraska's gotten a break, whether it be officiating or just a ball bouncing our way?
Daddy.
Well, I mean, 1964, I've heard that one. That happened once. I mean, I thought the pass interference in the overtime, the first play in the overtime, where's the flag? I mean, give me one. Just give me one call. Give me a throw me a bone.
Yeah, the other thing about that game that's odd is Texas Tech wasn't called for holding one time, I don't think.
Shocking.
Yeah, it is a little shocking. I mean, I sound like a homer saying that, but that's always something to kind of keep your eye on. I don't know. I agree with Bo on that point, Daddy. You got to make your luck. It's just. Really, on the football field, that's the way it works. And they're not doing it. And that statistic that's mind-boggling, and I'm not, this isn't going to be what you want to hear, but it is what it is. They forced one fumble. They've recovered one fumble since last year's Iowa State game, Nebraska. One fumble. I mean, compare that to Iowa State this year. They've recovered 9 this season. I mean, they're not, right now, Nebraska's really not making their luck, I don't think. You got to kind of make the ball bounce your way in some ways, that statistic that I just said, one fumble recovery since last year's Iowa State game, says a lot. They don't have all Big 12 players on that side of the ball. You're not seeing you're seeing a hard hit on occasion, but you're not seeing them as consistently and as frequently as you'd like. So that's what happens, you know.
Steve,
they got to get better. They got to get talent in here.
Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal Star joining us for just a couple more minutes from the press conference in Lincoln as we look at the Huskers. And Steve, I think you touched on it. Nobody, at least I know you're not, I'm not. Those of us that picked the Huskers to be around 7-5 thought that this was 3-3. The Huskers come through their tough stretch here. Yeah, they had an opportunity to actually win against Virginia Tech and win against Texas Tech. And now the Big 12 weekend is just so muddled. I know you're voting on the AP ballot. One bit of advice, don't fall into the USC-Florida thing. I mean, just because the Big 12's knocking off each other, and I see that this week you did a, you know, I like the way that the poll came out. But the Big 12 coaches saying yesterday, boy, we're so good that we're falling into the old SEC trap where we're beating each other up, and that allows somebody else to get in there for the national title. Just your thoughts on where the Big 12 is right now and where Nebraska kind of fits in from here.
Well, I mean, the Big 12 and the SEC are the two best leagues. I don't think there's any question about that. And it is hard for those teams. It's harder to play in those conferences because of what you said. It's a grind, and it's a bigger grind than I've ever seen. It's interesting to me that the Big 12's kind of the offensive conference and the SEC's a defensive conference. SEC's not real good offensively, but they play really hellacious defense. As a voter, it's really hard. I mean, to look at that, you have to weigh that factor, definitely, especially as it compares to the Big Ten, even the Pac-10 to a degree. But the Big Ten right now is down, and what do you do? Now, see, the situation you're faced with, you might be faced with, is seeing those SEC and Big 12 teams beat themselves up, and then Penn State skating through the Big Ten and USC skating through the Pac-10 and being 1-2. And I'm not sure that you'd have your best two teams in there at that point. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
Well,
and as for Nebraska, they're way out of it right now. I mean, they're just not in the discussion. They're not really in a top 25 type discussion right now, although it's funny because they just pushed the number 7 team to the limit. But what I'd say about that is Texas Tech's not the number 7 team. I dropped them to 11, and I think they're more of a bottom, they're 15 to 25 somewhere probably.
Sip, I guess the last question I have before we let you get out of here is, you see people like Ricky Henry, you see people like a Will Compton. Have they just decided, you know what, we're saving those guys for the future? And you know, I guess if you look at all the recruits and the talent that's supposedly there as far as those recruits go, are we just saying, hey, this is what we're dealing with this year, and we'll deal with next year when it gets here with these guys coming back?
Yeah, Dad, it doesn't matter what I say. It's just what Bo says, and that's what he has said, that if the guy hasn't played six games in, he's probably not going to play unless there's something really dire, you know. So it's a combination, Daddy. I mean, one of those guys you mentioned just wasn't ready. I mean, you got to be ready to play if you're going to play him. And, you know, they've had some guys that just weren't ready. They're not. I mean, even you could look at Alfonso Denard in that regard. He's ready to play special teams, but I don't think he's ready for that dime yet. You've seen that with Prince Amukamara right now, he's not a freshman, he's a sophomore, but just not quite ready mentally. So that's a factor with those things. But yeah, I think that the guys that are playing right now are the guys you're gonna go to the dance with, fellas.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star. We could talk for hours. You can catch him just about everywhere, but make sure you catch him. Lincoln Journal Star, thejournalstar.com. Sip, thanks so much. We'll let you get into the press conference, and we'll be waiting to hear your inquisitive questioning of the coach.
All right. Thanks for having me on, and Carney.
Lance Sorrell for president, buddy. Lance Sorrell. Remember that name.
All right. I got you on that.
See you, Sip. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. Oh, boy, poor Lance. They're kind of picking on him, some of the other media. I think he's doing fine.
Lance Sorrell had a heck of a game on Saturday.
Tyler Wartman got to play a little bit more as they switched things up in there. They had to plug in some new kids. And you know what? About every time a new kid comes in for the first game, they have shined. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they've continued to, because then they get broke down a little bit by the opposing coaches as they prepare for the following game. But, Tony, I 3-3. We go into Iowa State, and you know, I think this is the biggest test to see where this team is. Is this the team that played Missouri? Is this the team that played Texas Tech? I think it's the team that played Texas Tech. It's tough to just keep pounding mentally, be tough in there time and time and time again. But this is going to be the game that shows it as much as any. If Bo Pelini has his team as fired up for Iowa State as they were for Texas Tech, Nebraska wins this game easily. If they don't, Iowa State comes in and gives them all the problems that they can handle.
Yeah, and I think Sip said it. You know what? Even you lose this game, I don't chicken little it.
No, you don't lose this game. This is a bad game to lose. This is a bad game to lose, because if you lose to Iowa State, you can't assume you're beating Kansas. All right? And if you lose to Iowa State, you can't assume you're beating Baylor. All right? I'm saying that you have to go in and give – I mean, Iowa State better put together their best game of the year to beat you. That, I mean, better than what they did against Kansas. It better be better than that to beat Nebraska. Nebraska needs to put an effort that Iowa State has to bring their best game to beat them. Tough to do week in, week out. Back-to-back road games here for the Huskers. We'll have to see how it plays out. Coming up, Bo Pelini joins us with his weekly press conference at noon. We'll talk with Matt Cain, a little volleyball from St. Paul. Chuck Dummer coming up in about 10 minutes. Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. But let's take a break. We'll hit some emails and get to your comments on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, it may pain a little in the beginning, but after a while you won't feel a thing.
Today's training tip brought to you by See the Trainer. Most ankle injuries are the result of rolling over at the outset of the ankle. The ligaments can be stretched or torn, and the treatment depends upon the extent of the damage. Treatment should always include rest, ice, compression, and elevation, or RICE for short, until you have a chance to see a healthcare professional. Then you may be placed in a cast, splint, or ankle brace with or without crutches. The treatment emphasis should be on early protective movement and at the same time preventing motion in the direction of the injury. The air cast ankle brace is often used in the initial phase of the injury due to its ability to provide two of the essential components of immediate care, compression and protection. You can continue to move the foot up and down, but not in and out. If you've had an ankle injury, See the Trainer has a wide variety of ankle braces, ankle supports, and walking boots in stock. Whether you're a competitive athlete or just a casual walker, See the Trainer has the product that will get you back in the game. To learn more, visit them at 3819 2nd Avenue or go to seethetrainer.com. See the Trainer, 237-9244.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm is home this weekend to take on Green Bay Friday and Cedar Rapids Saturday. Face-off at First Air Event Center is set for 7:05.
The Nebraska football team is on a road again this Saturday as they travel to Ames to take on the Iowa State Cyclones. The game is televised on the Versus Network beginning at 11:30. The UNK football team has their longest road trip of the year at Western New Mexico. Saturday kickoff is set for 1 o'clock. It's homecoming for the Hastings College football team as they welcome in Nebraska Wesleyan at 2. You can hear it on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Just one match for the second-ranked Nebraska volleyball team this week. They will host Baylor Wednesday night at 7. The ninth-ranked UNK volleyball team is on the road Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, playing at Adams State, Western State, and Colorado State Pueblo. The Hastings College volleyball team, just one match this week. They host Dana College Thursday night at 7:30. And the Hastings soccer teams will be at Dana Wednesday and at Dort Saturday. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
The same technology just used at the Olympics to support and promote healing in world-class athletes is available in central Nebraska. Dr. Carey is trained in the application of and treatment with kinesiotape, an innovative athletic tape used by Olympians as well as the rest of us that both supports and promotes the natural healing process. Kinesiotape is like another layer of skin, flexible, long-lasting, and effective. To find out if kinesiotape is right for your condition, see Dr. Carey at Carey Chiropractic. Get back in the game. Call Dr. Carey today, 308-398-2255.
We'll see more cloud cover develop across the area as we head through the day today with a good chance for showers developing as well, especially as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay in the mid-50s with winds out of the southwest to 10 to 15. Tonight we'll see some rain showers, especially early with a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 43.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us. 1-888-455-ESPN is the phone number. You can email us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Some of our favorite emailers are filing in with their emails to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Derek, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sandy, but Daddy's kind of been whining for the last two shows that Nebraska hasn't caught a break.
Yes.
Mark in Minden says, didn't we catch a break when they missed the PAT?
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Kind of tough to argue that one. Looked like it was pretty much set up for us.
Jared says, cruelty to me. I am still suffering mightily after the Saturday's Husker non-win. Why couldn't the Scurs lose as bad as they were supposed to? Why, oh, why did they have to lead me to believe that we could win? That missed extra point seemed like an omen. I was sure we were going to win. Then out of nowhere, bang! Somehow the ghost of Joe Daly infiltrated Gans' body and it was all over. I would have said not Joe Daly, but Jamal.
No, no, either one.
Another loss, yes, but the cruelest loss thus far. Are there any support groups I can join? Jared.
You know, I could just I just go back to the end of that game. I got to think that if one thing that'll make us all smile is that bell ringer had to be going crazy.
I keep with it, Adam and Holdridge. For a change, I totally agree with Mr. Duda. But the problem is here, he must totally agree with you, Tony, because you were the one making this statement. When was the last time we got a legitimate break? I can't think of a single one. Conspiracy theorists, do with that what you will. After the feeling of disappointment subsided Saturday evening, I thought, with a couple of those non-existent breaks, we could be 5-1, could we not? Can't imagine what the bophoria would be like then. It's a new word, bophoria. On a side note, did anyone else see Mark May giving us some credit after the game? Isn't that written in stone as one of the sure signs the apocalypse is near? Maybe that Weiner Curb Street instead. I can't remember. Keep up the good work, Adam and Holdridge. Giving us, I didn't see. I know Mark May couldn't have given us any respect.
You know, our friend.
If he, you know, if we'd have beat Texas Tech, he'd have still given a sticker to the Tech helmet. Tool.
Oh, Crazy Chris has chimed in from our little friend in Iowa.
Listening on the web at ESPNSuperstation.com.
He says, first off, I owe the show an apology. Apparently Baylor was a good pick. Iowa State appears to be Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Almost beat Kansas one week, gets stomped by Baylor the next. Wow. Much like the Huskers, get obliterated by Missouri, almost beat Tech. Wow. Gotta love the utter unpredictability of college football. Wonder which Dr. Jekyll will show up this upcoming Saturday in the battle for the cellar in the Big 12 North. Only time will tell. At least the beer will be cold. That is a guarantee. Thanks, Crazy.
Hey, you know, like Jim Rome, if you can get two emails read in one segment, and Aaron does, He says, this email is completely off subject. Really, Aaron? While I sit here in class with my earpiece listening to the playoff of John Miller and Joe Morgan, they're talking about the great Keith Jackson and Howard Cosell calling Major League Baseball playoff games on ABC and the great team they were. I was just wondering if you thought there were any great teams like that today on the radio or TV. And then there's a second part here. Daddy?
You know what? I'm refreshed just somebody that's kind of come back onto the scene. I'm refreshed to hear Harold Reynolds again. I think he is excellent, one of the best. And, of course, was with ESPN for a long time before had kind of a weird departure. But I love Harold Reynolds, and a lot of people will say Tim McIver is one of the best. McCarver is one of the best.
He's horrid. Horrid. He's an idiot. Who said he's one of the best? Is Tim McCarver one of the best? 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
I think a lot of times when you're out, you go, I'd rather hear Tim McCarver than anybody else in the announcing booth.
Got Andrew from Kearney on the line, guys.
Andrew, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug, I agree with you. You can throw McCarver in the same class as Morgan and Theismann. You want to hear some good announcers? Pull up Pat Hughes and Ron Santo.
Oh, God. Bye. See ya. You're gone. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Joe Buck.
You are not an announcer if you just sit in the background and go, oh! Oh, yeah! Oh! Hey! Woohoo! Yeah, baby! That's not an announcer. Now, that's fine if you like that as your home team. That is your announcer. But as a might professional that I try to be, that is not an announcer. That is not a play-by-play guy. That is not a color guy.
Dave Lapham.
Not a color guy. We've had him on. Good guy. Not a color guy.
Fair enough. We go back to the phone lines.
Steve from Grand Island.
Steve, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning.
What's going on?
I think you could shove Tim McCarver and Brent Musburger in the same boat there.
I kind of like Brent, but I know a lot of people don't because they think he's a Husker. Do you just not like him, or do you think he's a Husker hater?
He's just a hater.
All right. Steve, thanks for the call, buddy. 1-888-455-ESPN. Again, I think I've stated on this show why I'm a fan of Brent Musburger and will not go into that at this time. Other people that do a good job, baseball, football.
Joe Buck.
But he's talking about teams. Teams. And I'm having a hard time. You know, you've got Al Michaels and John Madden, and when you put them together, you're talking longevity here, I think. Pat Summerall and John Madden used to be.
By the way, John Madden not making the trip this week would be the first game in, what, 420-some games?
It's a lot. They don't want him to bus it back and forth to the coast three straight weeks because it's like Tampa Bay and then back to California, then out to New England or something like that. So, whatever.
I think you guys are missing, what's her name, Susan Waldman?
Oh, my goodness gracious!
Yeah, wow. Nice job, psycho. Like all the rest of you Yankee psychos. You're all a bunch of psychos.
Roger Clemens!
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, my goodness gracious!
Yeah, how'd that work out for you, Yankees? By the way, how'd that work out for you? Secondly, again, I think the point, though, here on Aaron's email, is there any? Yeah, I like what Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do with the NFL. I like that. But I think you're seeing right now, you're seeing a lot of turnover with the way cable's expanding. More stations doing more national things, more announcers moving. You don't have the tandems together as much as they usually are or had been in the past. But you're seeing, you know, your Dick Enbergs are gone, your Keith Jacksons are gone. You know, your guys that have been around for a long time that were calling games when we were younger or in high school, they have all pretty much moved on. Not necessarily every single one of them. You know, I think John Miller and Joe Morgan do a great job. And, again, I like Joe Morgan because – he was playing when I grew up, one of the guys that I actually was a fan of. So, I mean, I'm sure there was not a lot of people that, you know, who's your favorite player? Well, Joe Morgan. Well, he probably didn't come up very often, but that's that. Secondly, before we go to another break here, for Mary, he goes, are you still going to be a hypocrite and put the Cowgirls number one in your power rankings? You always tell Husker fan to not be delusional and think the Huskers are better than they really are. Have I ever said that? Have I ever said the Huskers are better than they really are?
I go to you.
Huh?
I think you do all the time.
2 weeks in a row, even. Put your beloved Cowgirls at the top of your poll. You know what? This may have come across last night, but hey, Aaron, who's number one now, giant fan? Go to our ESPN Doug and Daddy poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the poll question. Who should we put number one in the power rankings? And, Daddy, Arizona's got to move in, don't they? Don't they? They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Cowboys.
They're 4-2
leading the division.
Well, obviously, there's one unbeaten team in the last.
Tennessee, you really believe they're the best team? Now, seriously, gun to your head, you believe Tennessee's the best team?
Well, they're going to be number one in the power rankings.
Is Tennessee the best team?
They have to be. Period.
They're your Super Bowl winner right now.
Yes, they got to be.
All right. Good God. Our selections on the poll, by the way, Tennessee, the Giants, Dallas, Pittsburgh. I even put Buffalo in there for Derek and other. And there's, I mean, it's wide open.
I'm putting our vote down for Buffalo right now.
That's outstanding. Chuck, what do you think?
Wait a minute, turn Chuck on.
Chuck, who's
Yeah, turn me on. That sounds like a winner. Yikes. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Wake up, Chuck. Chuck, wake up.
I'm here. Now, who do I think? I don't know. I guess I got to go with Tennessee for now.
I'm seeing I'll shut him back off over here. Let's just turn that. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Talk to Chuck Dummer, Prairie Hills Chapter Pheasants Forever right after this.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
OnStar versus hunting and pecking. It's not very safe, but people still try to type on their portable nav screens as they drive. With OnStar turn-by-turn navigation, you just push one button and ask the advisor to download directions to your car.
Start out going north on Route 10.
With OnStar, there's no need to type while you drive. You just drive while you drive. OnStar is standard for the first year on 11 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
Okay, so you want the Department of Labor to make the weekend officially start on Thursday?
Well, Buffalo Wild Wings has boneless Thursdays where you get specially priced boneless wings. It pretty much already feels like the weekend, so why not?
But what about Friday, sir?
Friday's gone.
So would Saturday still be on Saturday?
No, Saturday would be the old Friday, which is now Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do I get this weekend start on Thursday thing going?
Well, the guy you need to talk to is out till next Thursday, which would be Friday, so call back the following Tuesday, which is actually Monday.
Well said.
Weekends start on Thursdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. You have to be here. Price and participation vary by location.
In Vegas, the high rollers never miss a good play. And neither do you when you go to Johnny Casino's, Grand Island's latest entry into dining out. You can watch every Husker game, whether broadcast or pay-per-view, and the NFL Sunday Ticket. Even after your high school game is done, Johnny Casino's has the oven hot with fresh pizza. Johnny Casino's, west side of the Conestoga Mall off 281 Grand Island. And remember, what goes on at Johnny Casino's will keep you coming back to Johnny Casino's.
The same technology just used at the Olympics to support and promote healing in world-class athletes is available in central Nebraska. Dr. Carey is trained in the application of and treatment with Kinesio Tape, an innovative athletic tape used by Olympians as well as the rest of us that both supports and promotes the natural healing process. Kinesio Tape is like another layer of skin, flexible, long-lasting, and effective. To find out if Kinesio Tape is right for your condition, see Dr. Carey at Carey Chiropractic. Get back in the game. Call Dr. Carey today, 308-398-2255.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Rental Yard Good Time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney.
When the weather forecasters say partly cloudy and you have to blow 10 inches of that stuff out of the driveway, you might want to click on ESPNSuperstation.com to find out what other plans have been changed. Click the Weather Threat button, brought to you by Fidelity Heating and Air of Kearney. Remember, even when the weather stops you, nothing stops a train.
We'll see more cloud cover develop across the area as we head through the day today with a good chance for showers developing as well, especially as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay in the mid-50s with winds out of the southwest to 10 to 15. Tonight we'll see some rain showers, especially early with a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 43.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. 1-888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up. Matt Cain going to talk a little volleyball about St. Paul, the top seed in the Lou Platt Conference Tournament. Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at the top of the hour as well, around 12 noon. Chuck Dumber's going to join us in just a moment. Talk about the youth mentor hunt going on this weekend.
But before we get to Chuck, Doug, we want to talk about making your yard a show place before winter comes. And I know the temperature down. You better get those hoses unplugged away from the hydrants last night. But Matt and the gang want you to know there's several benefits of landscape curbing, and we can go on and on. They got multiple colors and design options.
Daddy, I'm new to the area.
Flexibility.
I'm new to the area. Tell me what Curbit can do for me.
Well, it doesn't matter. Residential or commercial, they can bring life to your landscapes. They got stamp curbing, they've got lighted curbing, they've got border applications, but you need to call Matt and the gang today. Free estimate. Matt's going to come talk to you. Don't want to do it right now, put it off till spring. He understands. Give him a call today, 308-237-4805. That's 237-4805. Or on the internet, check them out, curbit.net. That's curbit.net. They're bringing life to landscapes, residential and commercial. Matt and the gang at Curbit Inc.
Well, hopefully the weather will be perfect for the youngsters in our area to get out and take part in the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever Youth Mentor Hunt, which they have been doing for quite a while now, and it's getting bigger and better. And Chuck Dumber joins us from the Prairie Hills chapter, the secretary. Chuck, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning.
Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, and good morning to you, Daddy. Always love coming on here and talking about our Pheasants Forever Youth Mentor Hunt.
And that's coming up this week already.
This week, Saturday, we're going to kick it off at 7:30 in the morning at the Fort Kearney Shooting Sports location. And everybody knows where that is, up north here. This will be our third year now that we've been holding it there. And, of course, as you guys may know, every year, you know, they keep making major improvements out there. And it has become really a great destination now for this youth mentor hunt, because we can get inside if we have to. We do have all the great trap shooting that's available out there, so the kids can do some blue rock shooting in. It just makes it comfortable all the way around.
Chuck, do other chapters have this same youth mentor hunt across the state, or are you one of the few?
No. We have 57 chapters in the state at the present time, and every one of them is probably hosting a youth mentor hunt this particular weekend. And the reason they do it this weekend is because Nebraska Game and Parks gives us permission to actually go into the field and hunt pheasants 1 week before season actually opens, you know, for the general public. So that's why we all try to hold them at the same time. Some chapters will hold them Saturday and Sunday and double up. So there's going to be a lot of, you figure 25 kids per chapter is about the level that they run at. So that's a lot of kids that we touch, you know, on 1 weekend.
Let's talk a little bit about what the nuts and bolts of this whole thing is. If kids are interested, what do they need to know?
Okay, if the kids are interested, then first of all, they have to know if they're between the ages of 12 and 15. Now, if their 16th birthday is going to be next week, that's fine. They can still come in. You know, that's not a problem. The second thing that they have to know is they must have a Nebraska Game and Parks Hunter Safety Certificate. It's mandatory. They have to have that, or we can't let them participate at all. And then finally, one of the things we'd like to have them know is that if they have their own gun, they're welcome to bring it. What we don't want, however, is any gun that has a hammer. They can't have a hammer gun. It's got to be hammerless. So we encourage them, you know, even though Grandpa might have given them a real dandy weapon, you know, that's worth a gazillion dollars, but if it's got a hammer, I'm sorry, they can't use it. We do have now 13 guns of our own that actually belong to our chapter that are special short stock for young people. And we even have some 410s if we want to drop down that far in gauge size. But 20 gauge is usually what we prefer to break Blue Rock with. So we have that, but we encourage kids, if they have their own gun, to bring it along.
If, obviously, the shells, that you guys take care of that. If they got their own shells, bring them as well?
No. We do not encourage them to bring shells. We have the shells. We will provide them. As a matter of fact, we're on a real roll right now. Again, we partner, you know, so closely with Nebraska Game and Parks all across the state that this week we're going to teach a new hunting methodology that Nebraska Game and Parks is now sanctioning. I won't go into a lot of detail about it because you'd have to see it to understand it. But because we're going to do this, they are going to furnish all of our shells. So we're really happy about that. Yeah, that's a great deal for the kids.
Chuck Dummer is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. What should the kids expect then if this is the first time they're saying, well, this sounds like a great idea, this sounds like a lot of fun, this sounds like something I can learn, and it sounds like, you know, maybe a chance for me to get into the hunting mode here for this fall. What can they expect this Saturday? What's going to be going on all day?
Okay, well, first of all, let's go back just a little bit. If they want to come out this Saturday, they have to pre-register. They have to call Dave Connor. And Dave can be reached at 236-7026. Again, that's 236-7026. His name is Dave Connor. Dave has all the registration information, and he has all the insurance information. Okay? The next thing that the kids can expect is that as soon as they get there, we're going to have, of course, some rolls and coffee and juice and other things available for them. But Neil Lewis from the City of Kearney, from Park and Rec Department, is going to do the outline of the day. And he will start off by introducing the shooting methodology to them. And then we'll do the assignment of adult mentors, one-on-one with the kids. By the way, one parent is never with their own child. That we don't allow. They might get assigned to a different one. We try to break into four or five groups of maybe four hunters each, and then we'll start going through the various stations that we have. Number one is a hunter safety review, and that'll be done probably cooperatively by Neil Lewis and people from Game and Parks. Then we're going to do a habitat presentation to each group, and we're going to be rotating the groups here, so they won't all be together. We'll be rotating them. We'll do a habitat presentation by Nebraska Game and Parks. Then our own Chad Peterson, the president of our Prairie Hills chapter, is going to do a shotgun patterning exercise for the kids. The kids get a real kick out of this because he has a great huge piece of cardboard with a target on it, and then he shows the kids what various choke sizes will do to the pellet pattern when it hits the target. Kids get a kick out of that. They had no clue how broad or how narrow this can be. Then Neil Lewis is going to do a great thing that he has consistently done for years on permission to hunt. How to ask a landowner for permission to hunt on their land, the do's and the don'ts of hunting ethics. When you're out there, you're not throwing cans on the ground, you know, just don't leave anything behind. When you leave the property, knock on a door and tell them you're leaving. Okay? That's another. Sometimes we forget about that, you know. Go out and you shoot and maybe you get a couple of decent birds and you get so excited you just leave. Don't do that. You know, make sure you tell the owner that you're leaving. Then we're going to do blue rock shooting. And we will have one-on-one mentors, and yes, we sincerely believe that Michelle Stover and Vicki Harper will be there to help any of the young ladies that we may have that are part of this, because girls are more than welcome. We always have at least five or six of them. And what we like to do is have Michelle or Vicki actually work with them. We'll have two stations set up for Blue Rock shooting, and we'll rotate the kids through it twice, so they get twice as much time shooting Blue Rock as they do doing all the other things. And then finally, we're going to break into groups, have lunch, and then we're going to go hunting. And Neil Lewis this year, again, has arranged for birds so that at Fort Kearney Shooting Sports area, we will have some pheasants and chuckers that will be there. We encourage people to bring dogs. This is a great chance for you to work with your dog in the field 1 week before season opens, you know. You can kind of sneak a little extra time in there. And for the kids who may be just a little bit more advanced or a little bit better shot than the other kids, we're actually going to have them go over to Roe Sanctuary, okay? And there won't be any planted birds over there. However, if you've ever been out to Roe Sanctuary, it's a pheasant factory is about what it amounts to. So there's birds all over the place, but they are a little bit more difficult, you know, to get at. But we will have a special group go over there, and Bill Tadigan from Roe Sanctuary, the warden out there, he'll take good care of those kids that go out there. And finally, we'll break up. I suppose it'll probably be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon before we finally break up. We just ask kids, keep an eye on the weather, dress accordingly.
Don't need any whiners out there, because it's enough work going on. Yeah. I'm cold. Shut up.
Is that why you never went? You know, whiner?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dave Connor thinks of everything. Actually, we have a whole lot of coats, gloves, even some boots available just in case one of the kids shows up and isn't dressed quite right. So we can cover that.
Chuck Denver with us. Hey, Chuck, before we just give a little recap here, you mentioned that this is one of the couple, three times a year that we get a chance to chat, and usually we want to find out what's going on from the financial end and the things that you're contributing to. You always have the huge banquet in the spring, and now that the summer has passed, I'm sure that money has been dispersed wherever you wanted it to be.
Dispersed, that's a good word. In other words, it's gone. Well, of course, you know, we have to continue our payments for the various projects that we have where the land is now committed for X number of years, and we're assisting in the payment of leaving that land alone. The other thing that we did do this year, well, first of all, a report on the banquet. From a net dollar standpoint, it's the best banquet we've ever had. We cleared net bottom line $19,950. That's incredible, you know, for one night for an organization like ours, but that's also what makes us stand apart from a lot of others. We do know how to raise money. It stays right here in Buffalo County. And one of the major projects that we had this year was to buy a new Plotmaster, it's called. It's a unit that is designed to pull behind a four-wheel drive all-terrain vehicle for planting of grass seeds and forbs and legumes in areas that we can't get at with our big planter. This one is just 50 inches wide, okay? But this thing cost us over $7,000. And it's being kept, by the way, at Yamaha. And the reason we're doing that is in case you want to rent an ATV, you know, at the same time. Whereas our big unit is kept at Fairbanks International because that's where we have our big tractor. But this small unit is really great. If you just have a small area you want to plant, you just want to do it on a weekend, go out to Yamaha, talk to them. They've got all the rental information. And then they, in turn, will put you in touch with Mike Coughlin, who is our habitat manager, and he can get the right seed for you. Either that or you'll get referred to Game and Parks, one or the other, and we'll get the right seed in the right area for you. So this is some of the big, this was the big project this year, was to get this $7,000 spent. And then the rest of that money is going to be used for habitat development, the cost of seed, the cost of the rental of tractors, the maintenance on our big unit. It just goes on and on. The expenses are just, they just keep stacking up. We got to keep going.
But you guys are doing great things. And Chuck, as you said, one of those things is getting the youth out there and getting them involved so that they understand it and can kind of carry on the tradition. 26 years strong with the Prairie Hills Pheasants Forever chapter and the Youth Manor Hunt coming up this Saturday. For more information, you can get a hold or to register Dave Connor. Either way, if you want to know more or if you're ready to register, get a hold of Dave at 236-7026, 236-7026, and he'll give you all the information.
And the last parting shot is that we only have room for 5 more kids. That's it. Because we can't take more than 25. We just can't handle more than that. But just a reminder, dogs and dog handlers, we need you guys out there. And want to just stop for a second here and say hello to my son, Jeff. He's listening to us today in Stuartville, Minnesota, where he now lives. So, but he stays in touch with Doug and Daddy all the time.
We love Jeff. He shot us a couple of emails recently, and hopefully more of them. And Chuck, we always appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend with the kids.
Thanks, Doug and Daddy. Appreciate being here.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back. Matt Cain, Bo Pelini's press conference at the top of the hour as well. Stay with us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth, let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
Tomorrow's a big day. It's why you laughed at all your boss's jokes and practiced your handshake in the mirror. Tomorrow makes you glad you didn't drink more in college or allow yourself to have unflattering photos taken. It's why you've made grazie, Dankeschön, and tau chi part of your vocabulary. Tomorrow's why your shoes are so shiny you can check your hair in them. Tomorrow's big, and at Hilton Garden Inn, we know every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight. Visit HGI.com today.
All right, Mike, you're doing great. New spot, Tabasco Original Red on eggs. Thoughts?
Where to start? How about 4 a.m. this morning? Early and often with Tabasco. That's my motto. Sure, you know, eggs are pleasant enough, but I taste so much more with that splash of red. And by splash, I mean downpour. But hey, that's me. Feel free to enjoy in moderation, scrambled, fried, or sunny side up. Some people need coffee in the morning. I need Tabasco, and so do you. Thoughts?
Doesn't get any better than that, Mike. You should do this for a living.
Hi, I'm John Walsh, host of America's Most Wanted. The DNA LifePrint Child Safety Program is coming to your community. I endorse this program because it provides parents with the vital tools they need to help safeguard their children. Parents, I urge you to take advantage of this opportunity.
Join us Saturday, October 18th at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep. Free biometric fingerprinting, DNA kits, and more. For information, call 308-237-5904.
L&S Tire and Towing is proud of the girls and boys on our Elm Creek Buffaloes fall sports teams and wish you good luck this season. Your hard work and fine skills will take you far in each competition. Call L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek at 308-856-4106 for all your tire and towing needs.
Grand Island Clinic wants to wish good luck to the athletes on the Grand Island School District fall sports teams. We know with your spirit and hard work, you will have a great season. From Grand Island Clinic specializing in family practices, OB-GYN, pediatrics, and internal medicine, most major health insurances accepted.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see more cloud cover develop across the area as we head through the day today, with a good chance for showers developing as well, especially as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay in the mid-50s, with winds out of the southwest at 10 to 15. Tonight we'll see some rain showers, especially early, with a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Raise a little hell, raise a little hell, raise a little hell.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Of course, it's Tuesday. That means an extended show as we bring you, of course, the Bo Pelini press conference coming up here in just a little bit. You'll hear what the coach has to say in its entirety, then a few comments afterwards. Troutman's Tuesday trivia coming up as well. Don't forget, as the week progresses, we're going to give you a chance to get entered for Cunningham's and ESPN's Great Denver Giveaway. It is the, of course, Rocky Mountain Mile High Getaway. And some folks in registering last night at Cunningham's. You can register every Sunday and Monday during NFL football with the order of Coors Light or Miller Lite, or you can simply get five free registrations here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a trip for four to see Kansas City play at Denver December the 7th. The drawing will be held at the end of November. They're giving away great weekly gifts like gift certificates, tailgate chairs, T-shirts, and also the grand prize later on, a 42-inch LCD HD TV. Well, let's talk a little volleyball here on the Doug and Daddy Show before we head to Coach Pelini, because there is conference volleyball going on this week. And one of the top conference matchups in the entire state is the Lou Platt Conference, as all four teams that advance on to tonight's semifinals are ranked in the state in either C1 or C2. And the top seed going into the semifinals tonight, the St. Paul Lady Wildcats. And we are pleased to be joined by their head coach, Matt Cain, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and looking forward to seeing you guys tonight over here. And let's talk about this conference as a whole. Three teams able to sweep the 4-5 matchup, Kearney Catholic and Ord, going the distance last night. But the Lou Platt Conference really has some solid volleyball, and you guys have already kind of done the round robin, knocking heads with some of the top teams in this conference.
Yeah, it's brutal. The Lou Platt is brutal every night out. I think the conference tournament kind of went the way, you know, people thought it would, with the, you know, the top three seeds kind of swept through, and then the 4-5 game was really, really close. I mean, you've got the defending state champion as the fifth seed and going down in the first round. I mean, that says something, I think, about the strength from top to bottom. But, you know, even the 6-7-8 seeds, you know, Centura, you know, gave us a lot of good rallies last night. I think Adam Central's gone toe-to-toe with some teams. So there's some good volleyball, you know, throughout the whole conference, not just in the top four or five.
Matt, has it been a different year coaching a little bit to stay motivated night in, night out, to get you playing at your best every night?
Yeah, it really has. We've just, there are no easy nights, just like you said. Even if some of the teams maybe were a little better than, we always have a triangular with them and one of the top teams. So, yeah, it's motivation definitely has been a challenge, especially at the end of, like, September and early October. It was just, you've done all the drills already. You're just trying to fine-tune here and there. You don't have that much time in between matches to really overhaul anything. So, yeah, it's motivation's been huge.
Matt, tell us a little bit about your team. As everybody knows, made it down to the state tournament last year, had a very solid year, and have some of those great kids back. Tell the fans that are going to go watch you for the first time tonight what they're going to see.
Right. Again, we have five players back, like you said. We've got a couple strong middles. Melanie Plackey and Brittany Langan have done a great job all year in the middle, both hitting and blocking. Our outsides have been just as strong this year, Cassandra Sanowski and Kirsty Grimm. And our right side, Erica Voigt, has played very well as well. Our libero is Kira Pucher, and our setter, Tatum Robleski, just is amazing. She can get everything, puts up a good ball every time. So that's kind of our personnel. And then we've been real balanced this year. I think that's a change. We were pretty middle dominant last year, but we spread the ball around a lot this year. We've got four different girls that have over 100 kills on the year. Our setter is, again, just moving the ball all over. And our serving, I think we've got pretty close to 200 aces on the year. So you can expect a tough serve from every one of our girls that goes behind the serving line. So that's kind of what we've been up to this year.
Coach, I guess you look at tonight's match. Is there one thing that you've got to concentrate on to come out of here with a victory?
The one thing that always comes to mind with Kearney Catholic, of course, is Katie Sokolowski. We don't have anyone that's 6'2". To exactly block her, I don't think. But she's definitely their focal point. And they have nice players at all the positions, but she's definitely the focal point. So we're going to definitely know where she's at. I think for us it's more of a confidence thing. If we play with the confidence that we've played with all year, and that's been a difference this year. We've been real confident in all of our matches. We're, I think, 19-2. And even the two we lost, we've played pretty well in. So we've been playing well. It's just having that extra confidence, in a tight match, that goes four sets, goes five sets, because we haven't played that many four or five setters this year. So I think the key for us is just staying confident and believing in ourselves when the going gets tough.
Matt, I'd say maybe 25% of the conference tournaments in the state play 3 out of 5. The rest play 2 out of 3. Do you like the 3 out of 5 system for conference? I know the coaches that like it say it gets you ready for districts, but it seems like, especially this year, a lot of schools are finding a way to get more duels in than they have ever before. What's your stance on that?
I love it. I love the 3 out of 5 because I think the better team usually wins. Or more often wins in the 3 out of 5. You get in the triangulars and the tournaments where you play 2 or 3 times a day. That's usually where you see the major upsets, I think. So I asked Kearney Catholic about that, the 2 out of 3 tournaments they played with, who was it, Skyler. I think 3 out of 5, usually you see the better teams rise to the top, and I love it that way. I think that's the way it needs to be.
Well, Matt, best of luck throughout this tournament, and stay healthy as you head into districts and state play.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
See you tonight, Matt. Matt Cain, head volleyball coach at St. Paul High School, as they get ready to play Kearney Catholic tonight at 6, followed by Ravenna and Wood River at 7:15, 7:30, 7:45. You never know how long the first match is going to go, but you'll hear it on Power 99 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com. Coming up, Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But, again, we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia as we go into the break. If you have not won before in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can give us a buzz, let us know the answer, and you'll win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Here is the trivia question. Nebraska, Iowa State will meet for the 103rd time. 103 times. And Nebraska has won 84 of those, by the way, Daddy. 84 of those. The Crazy Chris is 16, and there have been 2 ties. 103 matchups. Nebraska's played only one other team more than they've played Iowa State. Who is it? Who has Nebraska played more than any other college football team? 1-888-455-ESPN.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Mid-America Market Information. Market information time. Hi, everybody. This is Larry Steckline here at the Mid-America Ag Network, and we can tell you, friends, we've got pins and needles we're setting on today, and I think everybody in America is. Will the stock market hold true? So far, it's okay. It's up and down like the fiddler's arm, but just a little bit off of steady. Right at this moment, Dow Jones down 53 points, S&P down 620. That's not bad. It's been up that much here just a few minutes ago, so it's kind of hanging steady. If we can close this market out steady today, I'd feel good with the tremendous upswing that we had yesterday. In the meantime, what's it doing to our livestock markets and our grain markets? First of all, December corn, 421 a bushel at this hour, up 9.5 cents. How about that? May's at 450, up 8.75. In Kansas City, December wheat's down a quarter of a penny at 627. July new crops down 3 at 662. It was up a little earlier this morning. Soybeans are down a nickel for November at 923. January down 7.5 at 936. Bean meal is up a little bit, and bean oil is down. Crude oil's up 41 cents a barrel at this hour, but gas and diesel's down about a penny, so it's hanging in there about steady as well. How about the Merck? Well, December live cattle up 62.5 cents at 93.62. April, 94.73, up 32 cents. Feeder cattle November up $1.17 at 97.35. January up 97 cents at 97.80. So a nice turnaround there feels good. Lean hogs are mixed, mostly on the downward side, 27 to 50 cents. Pork bellies are just kind of hanging around with February down 85 cents. March, May up 1 to 2.5. So that isn't too bad either. Again, a reminder, the stock market down just slightly. It's been hanging pretty much most of the day around steady. And crude oil up 41 cents. We look for everything else to kind of hang in there strong on the mercantile exchange. I'm Larry Steckline.
70 years, 70 plantings, 70 harvests. 70 times Pinnacle Bank has been there for the farms, for the families, for the communities of Nebraska, for our way of life, here year after year after year. That's the Nebraska way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Pinnacle Bank, member FDIC.
Getting the best value for your dollar, mighty important to everybody, and that's why you folks ought to call Dick Neville and his family at Neville Trailers in Kingman, Kansas. We did that years ago, because if you need a trailer, Neville makes steel and aluminum grain trailers that haul the largest possible loads. That's right, steel and aluminum grain trailers, built by farmers for farmers, and that means they're tough. If you haul grain, compare the quality, durability, and price of Neville-built trailers in Kingman. Call them at 1-800-301-3487, or go to NevilleBuilt.com. On your
You spend a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Kraus, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings. ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
And good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, Nebraska coach Bo Pelini says linebackers Cody Glenn and Phillip Dillard returned to the practice field yesterday, but he can't promise they'll make Saturday's lineup. The two were limited by injuries in Saturday's game with Texas Tech. But Pelini says either way, the Huskers will need to focus on forcing turnovers when they take on Iowa State on Saturday. Huskers practiced for about 2.5 hours yesterday. They've lost their last three games and coincidentally didn't force a turnover during any of them. The team had forced 6 turnovers in their first 3 games, all games they won. Meanwhile, the coach says he doesn't plan to bring true freshmen Will Compton and Sean Fisher out of their red shirts to shore up an injury-plagued linebacking core. Pelini said yesterday it's not in the best interest of Compton and Fisher to activate them in the middle of the season. The Big 12 Conference has announced that Nebraska's October 25th home game against Baylor will start at 11:30 in the morning and be televised by the Versus Network. This week's game against Iowa State will also be starting at 11:30 and be televised by Versus. Adams Central is in 7th place after the first day of the Girls State High School Golf Tournament at the Riverside Country Club in Grand Island. Patriots shot around to 402 on Monday. Scott's Bluff is the leader in Class B with a score of 346. Beatrice is second with a 366, and Gretna is third with a 376. Grand Island Northwest currently in fifth place with a 387. Elizabeth Havelcost out of Beatrice is the individual leader with a 79. Lindsay Colburn of Adams Central is seventh with an 87. And Taylor Thompson out of Hastings High is tied for 15th with a 93. Kearney Catholic is the leader after the first day of the Class C State Tournament at the Indian Head Golf Course in Grand Island. The Stars shot at 387 on Monday. Crofton is second with a 394, and Minden third with a 396. Grand Island Central Catholic is fifth with a 401. Donovan Trumbull seventh with a 433. Danielle Lemick of Donovan Trumbull, the individual leader, with a 76. That's sports.
Face it, guys, just going to the gym won't give you the body you want. You need a nutritional plan. GNC of Kearney and Hastings has your plan, featuring the new Weibolic Extreme 60 Protein, sports vitamins and Vitapacks, plus amplified creatine, glutamine, and every other essential product for your body enhancement needs. And ladies, don't think we've forgotten you. We have a wide array of beauty and healthcare products as well. And when you make your purchase with a GNC Gold Card, you save 20%. GNC, Hastings and Kearney. Face it, guys, without GNC's help, you'll just be
the little man in the gym.
Coming up, Poe Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You'll hear everything the coach had to say today in Lincoln. We did have a winner in our Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Joe and Carney knew that Kansas is the team that the Nebraska football program has played more than anyone else. More than anyone else. Kansas 114 times, Iowa State 103. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we'll be talking with
Andrew Logue from the Des Moines Register, a little Iowa State football talk coming your way, along, of course, with Bob Jensen, weekly chat with him from Huskers or HuskerPrep.com.
So we'll be talking with Mr. Jensen as well, among our guests.
Doug, we go to the Den Popper inbox before we get to Bo Pelini's press conference. Besides listening to Doug Duda and Mike Groves together in the old days, I would have to agree with Doug that John Miller and Joe Morgan are probably the top duo today. Going back a few years, how about when NBC had baseball and Bob Costas and Bob Uecker did games together? They were pretty good.
That was no best. Yeah, Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek. And there's a New York guy for you people, so there you go. Coming up Thursday, our NFL power rankings, who will be number one. Daddy will have his picks on Friday. Johnny Casino's picks can pick him. We've got a lot more that we want to talk about as the week progresses. I don't know who we're going to have. I don't know.
By the way, Chris Katudelak will join us next week during Breeders' Cup week, TVG Network. If you're interested in the Breeders' Cup at all, $25 million.
Are you going to that?
You're not. No, not going to Breeders' Cup. I'd love to go to Breeders' Cup. I know some of our friends in Grand Island are going. My friend James Valdez is going. I know that. Two richest days in racing. Looking forward to that.
It's good. Happy for you. Den Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. A couple of comments on just a couple of national stories, and then we'll get to Bo Pelini here as he's just getting ready to fire up everything here for you, wrapped up in Lincoln. We'll bring that to you. You know, the Los Angeles Dodgers pitching Derek Lowe, and they want to. Now, people in L.A. are blaming Torrey. Where were you a month ago? Not in the playoffs. Shut up. It's just, that's why you are the smartest people ever the day after it happens. You know, you pitch Derek Lowe, you only pitch him for five innings, so why'd you pitch him at all? Yeah, I think they were ahead in the eighth. I think they've had a pretty good bullpen this year. I think they're about ready to even the series at two apiece. I'll tell you this. It's not Joe Torre's fault that Matt Stairs, who the hell still has a job, I don't know, hits a two-run home run. In one of his very few at-bats since coming to Philadelphia.
How his back enables him to swing the bat is amazing in its own right.
I thought the Royals had killed that guy. You know, that's usually where Major League Baseball players come to crash and burn, but hopefully not anymore. But, you know, lay off that. Just lay off that.
And all of a sudden, the Devil Rays, John Lester had not lost at Fenway Park since 1984. There was it 82.
Yeah.
And to come in there and do what they did, this is an awfully good baseball team, and they might just be the best team in Major League Baseball from darn near start to finish this year. They may be that special of a squad assembled. Top to bottom, they may have the most talent.
heartbreaking night last night for the Tri-City Storm. Omaha scores with 4 seconds to go to win it by a score of 4-3. The Storm is home this weekend against Green Bay and Cedar Rapids. Also, UNK volleyball up to number 7 in the country. Jerry Wachowiak, the offensive player of the week in the conference. Cole Svek is the setter of the week in the conference. And the state golf tournament, we mentioned just a couple of stats, but heading into the day, Fremont led Class A by 11 shots over Omaha Marion, then Norfolk. Michaela Anderson of Fremont, Nicole Mewberry of Norfolk playing in Norfolk, both shot 78. Hannah Houston of Grand Island was sitting in a tie for ninth at 92. Class B, Riverside, Grand Island, Scotts Bluff, 346, a 20-shot lead over Beatrice, followed by Gretna, Sydney, and Grand Island Northwest was fifth. Adams Central was sitting in seventh. And Betsy Havecoast of Beatrice shot 79, had a one-shot lead over two others. Lindsay Colburn of Adams Central had the best score for the area heading into the day with an 87. That was good enough for seventh. Maddie Yerk of Adams Central had an 89. Kelsey Andrak of Lexington a 91. Taylor Thompson of Hastings a 93. And the Class C at Indian Head at Grand Island, Danielle Lemick of Donovan Trumbull, quotes in the stories, well, she wasn't that happy with her 76. Freshman. Little Tiger Woods going there. Has a 4-shot lead over Steph Rogers of Syracuse. And that's, you know, forget it. Just Danielle, congratulations. We hope you finish it off strong today. Kearney Catholic at 387 at Indian Head yesterday. That was not their best round of the year. But it's good enough to lead by 7 over Crofton. Minden only 9 back. So Minden putting together a decent showing. Grand Island Central Catholic was in 5th. Donovan Trumbull was in 7th place. In Class C, Allison Ekstrom of Minden in the top 10, firing a 90, as did Mackenzie Marshall of Kearney Catholic. So best of luck to all those ladies as they finish up their rounds today, and hopefully the weather doesn't get any worse, because nothing worse than taking care of, you know, state business outside. You know, you want to be able to give it your best, and it's kind of tough sometimes to do that in the conditions.
True, Doug. Breaking news yesterday right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tommy Bowden was released as the head coach of the Clemson Tigers. Now you're hearing all sorts of names being brought up already, and one of those is right here in the Big 12, Will Muschamp, the defensive coordinator from Texas. And he's been a hot commodity. And I don't know other names out there. People are saying Rich Rodriguez. That was brought by Scott Van Pelt, who supposedly has not signed a contract yet at Michigan. I don't know. You go back, Lane Kiffin, name's been brought up, because obviously out of coaching right now since he got fired, and obviously can interview a lot sooner than some of these other people. But there's some interesting names floating around out there.
Well, they'll have to try and make it through this season. We'll take a break. Bo Pelini is next.
Everyone at A&T Repair is wild about the runners on our Eustace Farnham Knights Cross Country team. Everyone commends your skills and conditioning, and we will be cheering you on at District. Go the distance and good luck from all your fans at A&T Repair in Eustace, proudly supporting our athletes and scholars. The staff at Hutchins Funeral Home would like to congratulate the Franklin Flyers Cross Country team on making it to District. We're all proud of the effort you've put in to ensure yourselves an amazing season. Good luck, Flyers! Hutchins Funeral Home in Franklin, serving the Franklin County area with dignity.
If I were in the position of Brian Dempster Wednesday night pitching game one, trying to lift the curse off the back of the Cubs after 100 years, attempting to do what everyone's expecting them to do, I would have folded like a cheap
suit. Wake up to Mike and Mike every weekday morning until 9 on ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see more cloud cover develop across the area as we head through the day today, with a good chance for showers developing as well, especially as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay in the mid-50s, with winds out of the southwest to 10 to 15. Tonight we'll see some rain showers, especially early, with a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We apologize for the delay getting you Bo Pelini's press conference, but we're about ready to fire that your way. And what the coach has to say, getting ready for Iowa State, coming off 3 losses in a row. Daddy, right now, best team in the Big 12 is?
Texas, undoubtedly.
Can't wait to play that back next week when Missouri wins that football game.
Well, who would you say this week? Who's the best team in the Big 12, Doug?
Missouri is. Oklahoma is. I was looking for a little something from you. Texas is number one, so they're the best. Okay.
Well, they just thumped Oklahoma. They found a way to win when they were down.
Thumped?
Well, they beat by 10 points when they were down and out.
All I did was make him mad. Let's hear from Coach Pelini.
Coach, do you feel like you have a pretty dangerous team right now?
In what way? Dangerous to themselves or somebody else?
Dangerous opponents.
Well, I wasn't sure whether you meant on the field or off the field. I don't know. I don't know. I just see us as a team that's trying to get better. And, really working every day, and I think it's a team that's has confidence, is developing more confidence. But I think it's I think the process is in full gear, and we're just anxious to get out there and get it going again. I think everyone's disappointed.
Psychological thing to death, but is there
is
part of this process at all get these guys to relearn how to win or
reconvince them
how to win?
No, I think they're convinced they can win. Like I said, I think that just got to do it. We got to make enough plays, and we didn't. There are enough mistakes in there. There's enough things that we're doing to ourselves to allow us to not win. And execution wise, and they're just being good at football is about the little things, and winning is being about is not beating yourself, executing, being precise, playing with discipline, and at times we do that, but we're not consistent enough yet in a lot of facets of the game to. Otherwise we there's a good chance we could be sitting here 5-1, but we're not because we didn't execute.
How are you going along with that, Coach? Are you surprised that the defense has no turnovers in the last 3 years?
I'm disappointed. Yeah.
What goes into improving that?
Getting the ball out. Making plays. When the ball's in your hand, catching it. And I've always been around places that's created a lot of turnovers, so it's something that really jabs at me because that's something that we emphasize, and it's something that I've always, the defenses I've been around have always hung our hat on.
Going from Missouri to last game, did you see the same problems, new problems? Did you see the correction between
different game, different circumstances. Some of the things were the same, every time when there's a breakdown, when there's a lack of execution, usually it's not one thing, because you're playing against different plays, different teams, different schemes. You're running different plays, but ultimately it's being consistent in executing what our responsibilities.
Coach, it seems like every team has that zone read play in their playbook now. What makes that play so tough to defend?
They're all, like I said, a lot of them, it's not that much different. It's not that difficult to defend. I guess I don't get the question.
Missouri had some success running it, so did Texas Tech.
Those are all different plays. You have to make tackles. You got to handle your gap. It's about gap responsibility, playing your responsibility, and making tackles when you're there to make it. And if you don't, you're in for a long day. Just team defense. Whether they're running a zone read or they're running a belly or a lead, it's the same thing.
What's Iowa State going to attack you guys with on offense from what you've seen?
I don't know. Can you get into their practice and come back and tell me?
What have you seen compared to the other teams?
They do multiple things. You know, they do some things. They have they're mainly a zone read, a belly read team with the zone read with their quarterback as their number one run, and then they do some things off of that play pass wise, and then they spread you out and throw the football, and they've kind of evolved from early in the year to later in the year. Early in the year, they were a little bit more base personnel, couple tight ends in the game. Now they're a little bit more spread out, but you know, I'm not how they choose to go at us. I don't know yet. We got to be prepared for all of it, and they're a well coached team. I think they're starting to gain confidence, and they have some guys that can make plays. Quarterback's a good player.
How much insight can Barney give you about some of their offensive talent?
I haven't even talked to Barney about their talent. I just look at let the film tell me. They're very capable.
So how do you feel about correcting just some of the mental mistakes you see in these games? Is it just maybe extra discipline at practice? Is it the players get on other guys that are doing that type of thing?
Well, you try to simplify some. If you could just pinpoint this is the problem, sometimes you don't know when it's going to creep up. It's just a matter of concentration and guys executing and us as a staff coaching it better. It hurts us at times, and it has hurt us at times, and we just have to, we're just working to get more consistency. You look at I don't remember the exact number on it, but you look at the first half the other day, it's three or four plays that creep up and get you. And when you look at the three or four plays, they're really, like I say, it's not something that they did. It's sometimes, it's us, missing a tackle or missing a gap or busting a coverage for whatever reason. Like I said, we just got to coach it better so we get, so we can execute more consistently.
Coach, along the same lines, Mike Smith was credited with holding penalties in a row. I see that you got listed first ahead of him this week for starting position. Is there a correlation there?
No, Javario played better, but we've coached the holding, the penalties. He wasn't the only one who held. We had a number of holding penalties, and that's an area of concern, and has been, and was something that we stressed and talked about all week, but then they creep up and rear its head, and it's just a matter of having enough discipline to when something breaks down or you start to get beat, you can't reach out and grab, that's the bottom line.
Coach, can you talk about consistency of the receivers? How reliable
they've been
this year?
Nate Swift and Todd, I go right through the group. I think they played at a high level. I think the guys, I think Menno's getting better. I think Niles Paul has brought a lot to this football team. And, along with Joe, I think that those, obviously some of our offensive line, some of those guys are playing real well, played real well the other day. But on a consistent basis, I'd say that those guys, like along with Joe, have been the MVPs. They're playing very well. And not only running routes and catching balls, but blocking on the perimeter. And they're playing at a high level. I really like them.
You think that maybe is just their familiarity with Joe?
I just think they're good players, and they're playing well, and they play hard, and it's important to them. I think they're leaders, too, on our team.
What's your personal preference on offensive line? What would you like to see the five guys that go the distance or most of it, or do you like rotating some guys in and out?
Well, I think, you need to rotate some. You got to keep your guys fresh. I think if somebody earns playing time, they earn playing time. And you hope that you have seven, eight guys that you put a guy in there and you don't miss a beat. And we felt like that, that's been the case. And it hasn't, like I said, we have had a breakdown. It hasn't been one guy. It's been, you know, from guys that have rotated to guys that play every down, you know, so, you know, at the end of the day, you like to have some, you like to have depth, and you like to use that depth, so you're fresh in the fourth quarter.
Well, coming off the stretch you guys have been through, I mean, is there any level of concern on your part about, you know, people maybe just taking a breath or pausing or just a slight let down?
No. We're not, believe me, there's no sense in letting down on our football team. And, you know, if we were sitting there at 6-0, it might be a concern. But we, if anything, we need to raise our sense of urgency. And there can be, you know, and I think our, I mean, I didn't get that sense of practice. I thought we practiced well yesterday.
Coach, they had a tough loss last week. Iowa State did, but played Kansas tough. Are they just a different team at home, a lot tougher?
A lot of people are. In my, you know, my experience against Iowa State, I've, you know, I, in my knowledge over the years, they've always been tougher at home. And a lot of teams, most people are, you know, you get the crowd behind, you know, they have a good crowd, a good atmosphere over there, and they're more comfortable. And, so we, you know, anytime you go on the road, you get your work cut out for you. And I'm sure it'll be the same case on Saturday.
First road game of any year can be kind of hinky. How did you like the way your guys handled Friday night, Saturday morning, the crowd after they got out on the field?
I thought it was excellent. I thought they were very businesslike, went down there with a purpose, and I thought our guys were mature and handled themselves very well. I was really happy with how they went about it.
Did you have a sense from that that was going to translate into a good game on the field?
Yeah, I felt all week we were going to play well. I thought we were going to play them. I thought we were going to play well, and I didn't have any question about that going into the game.
Do you put any stock in the idea that teams can get a reputation in regards to penalties, and if so, how does a team shake that reputation?
I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. I got my feelings. I'll keep them to myself on that subject. But you know, you gotta. You, like I say, you gotta play more disciplined. You gotta play smarter.
So when you practice that fake field goal last week, I guess throughout the season, did it work out well at the time?
Yeah, a lot of things. It all works good in practice. You know. No. You know, it, you know, I thought it was well thought out. You know, it's not always there. We thought it was there, and it was. It ended up being there. And we don't practice fakes a lot. We don't, do, you know, we every now and then we'll throw it out there, and we kind of installed it in camp, and it was there, and thought it was the right time to use it. And Jake, you know, we had a ball. He throws the ball well. We had a lot of confidence that he would get it done, and I was hoping it would get in the end zone. Mike kind of stumbled a little bit and gave me a semi-heart attack when that ball went in on the ground. But I'm, you know, I thought it was well run, well executed, well thought out, and it was a good design.
Did you make that call, or was that the special teams guys that make that call? Who makes the call?
I made the call.
Double bit anxious since it's not played in practice.
No, I thought, I mean, I'd seen it enough that they, I thought they would execute it. And we were driving down the field. I told them that there's a possibility we might do it. And, I, you know, you don't want to pull the guy to the side. So I kind of alerted him beforehand that that's, that if I think it's there, if the situation's right, we might go with that. And I just kind of, he looked at me and I gave him the nod that here we go. Happy it worked out.
How valuable is it to have a guy like Jake come in, pump for you guys? He had an excellent hold, I think, the first week. How was his throw?
I love having him on our football team. I think he's brings a lot to the table. He's a leader. He's an unselfish. He's a team guy and team first. And you know, just a guy that he's all about the program and. He loves playing here, loves being on this team, and he's a guy that that I have tremendous amount of confidence in every regard.
I know you pinned it on one play and said that after the game with Joe Gans, but how do you see him bouncing back? He said it's a little tough for him to shake.
He'll bounce back. Joe's a, I mean, he's a, the guy's a stud, so he'll be fine.
With a new team and a new game plan this week, we still keep it simple, or we change it up, try to add a little more things, install more things, throw a little more at them?
In what?
As far as game plans, schemes?
You know, we do, we'll have enough in there to we think that we need to win the football game. And on both sides of the ball, you know. But I, you know, enough that we, you know, you add some things, you take some things away, and then yeah. But at the end of the day, it's not the like I said, it's not the X's and O's. It's about what the guys can execute, and being very, you know, and be sound at the same time.
Just a point in the season where, like, obviously coaches can do what you can do, but is this point in time where this players and older players kind of need to also take control of this team and the destiny of how it's going to finish?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I said, our, you know, how we finish this season is going to be in direct correlation to how we prepare and how committed we remain as a group. And as long as we keep preparing and stay with the process and keep believing in each other and this is just my approach, you get out of Saturday what you put into it during the week. It's in, you know, you can set goals, and it's the same thing with the season, but it's, every week, if you put the right effort into it, you make a commitment every single day to keep working and getting better and prepare yourself, then you reap the benefits. But in any wake of life, if you can set a goal, and if your work habits and your preparation doesn't isn't equal to the task of reaching that goal, you're not going to get there. And our guys, I think, understand that. And you know, I liked what I saw in practice and the commitment we had yesterday. And as long as we stay with it, we'll be ready to play on Saturday. That's all we can do. You can't do anything about what happened in the past. We got six games left, and you got to put everything into it to try and win all six. I've been known to raise my voice and make them try harder every now and then. You know, our guys, it's not a real vocal group. I hear it from Swifty. I hear, you know, Todd Peterson. I hear Joe every now and then. But it's not a real rah-rah type group. Philip Dillard, you know, I think is a guy that steps out every now and then. Asante at times, you know, but, you know, everybody, you have to kind of lead within your personality. Some guys are lead by example, some guys are more rah-rah type guys, and the same with coaches. Some coaches are screamers and yellers, other guys are, you know, more to the point, more teachers, and I think there's a balance there, and I think, you know, but I think at the end of the day, you can rah-rah all you want, but it's not about that. It's about execution. It's about attention to detail.
Do you try to prod that out of them, or just let them be and let their personalities take over?
Sometimes you got to get their attention, sometimes you don't. You got to know who, you know, there are different buttons you need to push on different guys. And I think that's part of the deal, that's part of being a coach, is you got to figure out how to reach different guys. And that's, you know, you got to learn that as you go along. Some guys, bottom line, is some guys crawl into a shell when you get in their face. Other guys respond the right way. You know, as you're around guys longer and you have more experiences with them, you have a better idea on how to reach each and every individual on your team.
They still learning that with each of the guys?
Sometimes, somewhat. I tell you what, you learn a lot more when you see how they react in the game. You have a little, you know, when it would, you know, some guys can handle it during the week, and then, You know, when something bad happens to you in the game, you kind of learn more about how a kid responds and how you need to address them. So that part of it, you know, that part of the process continues, you know, is ever never ending.
Do
Can you approach the guys the same way if you were just the D coordinator, or because now you're the head coach, you've got to push the button a little differently?
No, I don't approach it any different than I did before.
Coach, you said before you're not used to losing. Is there another part of the team that's lost three in a row to coach?
I don't think I have. But I've lost enough football games that I know how to deal. I mean, like I said, I'm a guy who doesn't get real high or too low. Believe me, it hurts me when I lose, and it takes me a while to shake it. But it can't change how you are with the team, how you approach your job, how you prepare. And I'm not a guy who gets overly excited when you win. Because I look at I love to win, but at the same time, you got to go back and you got to look at, what's the truth. I don't think you're ever as good as you are when you win, and you're not, usually not as good as or as bad as you think you are when you lose. And you got to look at the reality of it. You got to look at it in a very black and white way, and say, okay, this is where we are. This is where we have to get to, whether things are going good or bad. And if you approach your job that way, you don't ride the emotional roller coaster. Because as a coach, as a program, and even as a team, if you ride the emotional roller coaster, you're going to play that way, and you're going to have a lot of highs and lows. If you take a business-like approach to it, and a very cut and dried approach to it, to let's look at the reality of it, let's look at the facts in a win or a loss, and what we need to get fixed, and what we need to do to get better and reach the level we're not haven't been to yet. Then you keep everybody in the same, heading in the right direction. But if you ignore, I've been around places where you win football games and you ignore the reality of it, and you don't get any better. Or if you lose, all of a sudden, then you lose, and then you're pointing out every little thing, and you're screaming and yelling about the things that they might have done the last week when you won. Well, you're not acting in a consistent way as a coach, and your players feel that. You have to be consistent coaching-wise, playing-wise, in every manner, win or lose. And keep striving for perfection no matter what. That's my approach. It's always been, and I learned that for a long time ago.
And you understand that they all get that from you. It starts with you.
Yeah, I believe they do. I believe they're going to take on the reflection of, they're going to be a reflection of myself and the staff and how we approach things. That's just how we go about it.
That's Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini, his weekly press conference from Lincoln. Here's some of the same. Joe Gann's going to bounce back. Starting off the press conference, just kind of breaking it down. First person that asked him if they needed to relearn to win ought to not be allowed back in the press room. What a moron.
You need to relearn how to win?
What the hell kind of question is that? Gone. You're gone. The big thing already this week is creating turnovers. They need to create turnovers. They haven't been doing it for a long time. And the thing that you got to love about Bo, and he was kind of trying to be lighthearted at the very beginning throughout this press conference today, is that, you know what? The only way to, you got to create turnovers. So go out and do it.
Yeah, there's no magic potion that we can put this guy there. No, you've got to hit somebody unexpectedly, put a hat on the ball when the guy comes through a hole. You've got to create them yourself, and we haven't saw that. But I thought he was so calm.
Well, he's got the same approach, and he's keeping it simple. Like, how do you create more turnovers? You go out and force them. You execute better. You have better effort. Maybe he wants to. It's not luck. As Steve Sipple said at the start of the show today, it's not luck. Sometimes luck is forced on by yourself. You create the bounces, the breaks, and a little luck.
I like how he took credit for that fake field goal. Well, I called that. I'm the head coach. If it didn't work, then somebody else would have called it.
Says things went well with their first road game. Not worried about quarterback Joe Gans bouncing back. Terry Douglas asking him about the leadership on the team and if he's talking maybe to the seniors. Can't talk to the captains because we don't have any. Who he talks to about making sure everybody's in the right frame of mind, and evidently that's already been taken care of. Says, I'm not sure I've ever lost three in a row. Don't like it, though. Must be three times worse than losing one in a row, Tony.
He just doesn't like it. It doesn't matter if he's playing Grandma in Uno. He don't want to lose to her.
Exactly, and it doesn't matter if he wins 35 in a row. 36 is going to be important.
Right.
So that's what's going on with Bo Pelini. You can catch it all if you missed some of it on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. We bring you Bo Pelini's press conference every time he has one, Tuesday at noonish on the Doug and Daddy Show. We want to thank the university for their cooperation. We want to thank Steve Sybil from the Lincoln Journal Star for joining us today. Matt Cain, the head volleyball coach at St. Paul. They're the number one seed in the Luplac Conference Tournament. They'll play Kearney Catholic tonight at 6, followed by Ravenna taking on Wood River. You can hear those games on Power 99 FM and the World Wide Web, kkpr.com. Also, Chuck Dummer, secretary from the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. They've got their annual youth mentor hunt going on this Saturday. Tomorrow, more talk.
Andrew Lowe from the Des Moines Register joins us. Talk a little Iowa State Cyclone football, along, of course, as our weekly Wednesday rolls on with Bob Jensen. Huskerland Prep Report. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, right here in Kearney, 1550, to our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!